Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of American Criminal. In our latest season, the child of Italian immigrants sets out to achieve the American dream. And if he has to spill some blood along the way, so be it. Listen to American Criminal, Al Capone, wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get ad-free access to the entire season first, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
Welcome to the OC Bitches.
Oh, hi. Welcome.
Oh, yeah. We're doing that here.
Welcome to the OC Bitches.
That's why we're here today.
Are we doing this?
Yeah. We're doing actually season 2, episode 10, The Accomplice.
I know.
Do you?
I know.
You know what sucks about this episode?
What sucks, Rach?
You're not in it.
Ooh.
Seriously, I hate when you're not in the episodes.
Okay, thanks.
There's something very largely missing, and that is Julie Cooper.
I love the episodes sometimes when I don't have to remember things that I didn't remember because I wasn't there.
So you're me, because I don't, yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm actually really interested to talk to you about these next two episodes because you don't remember, and I want to get your take on it because they were really, really, the audience had a very, very strong reaction to these storylines.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's some good ones.
Yeah. So I'll have some questions for you.
Okay.
Okay.
I know. Well, spoiler alert, she's not in episode 11 either. Bullshit.
She's off getting a new haircut in in Paris. Actually, the truth is, I think I do come back with new hair.
I was going to ask. Every time you disappear, you come back with a new
It wasn't so much that it was new, but it was actually new. I think I came back with like a big head of extensions and my hair all of a sudden grew like 6 inches.
Well, yeah, as it does. Yeah, hello. Yeah.
Let's do the synopsis. Sandy's law school professor and mentor, Max Bloom, shows up requesting Sandy's help in finding his daughter, Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy's first love. With the help of Zach, Seth embarks on creating a comic book based off his friends in Orange County. Lindsay seeks a relationship with Caleb. Marissa and Alex grow a little closer. And oh man, no Julie in this episode. That was written by our producer, Diana. And it was directed by Ian Toynton, written by Alan Heinberg. The original air date is January 27th, 2005. Today is not that day, but you know, we're a little off now.
We're a little off.
Okay.
Hey guys, before you get started, someone left you a voicemail.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Who's that?
You'll see.
Hi, ladies. This is Emmanuel Shrieky.
Oh, yeah.
I played Jody on the OC. I need to say two things. First of all, it's so cool that I can leave this message in lieu of doing the podcast. But also, I just want to say I'm really bummed out that I can't do the podcast. It was such a cool thing, Melinda, when you reached out to me and it gave me the opportunity to go way back in time and watch the episodes, which was so trippy. Can I say? Oh my God. Anyway, so listen, playing the role of Jody, it was such a great experience. I was very new to LA and, I didn't even watch TV really. So for sure then I didn't really understand how popular the magnitude of the OC, and it sort of later, as the years went by, you know, fans of the OC would be like, oh, wow, is that Emmanuel Shrieky in the OC? That's right. It was me playing Jody, Olivia Wilde's ex-girlfriend. Speaking of Olivia, we met and she was so lovely. She was so cool. I remember just thinking about how cool she was. And I really had this feeling like she was... I was kind of in awe of her. Like, I was like, wow, sure, she was so beautiful and so confident and so talented. I remember thinking all of those things and like knowing that I was going to, see her around. And listen, now I get to say I played Olivia Wilde's ex-girlfriend. Not too shabby. Yeah. But I remember everybody was so lovely. It was a really, really good experience. Like I said, trippy to go back and watch it because I feel like I'm watching the baby version of myself. You know, when you watch something that you did from a long, long time ago, like I just can't help but going like, who is that person and what was going on? What was going on in my life then? Crazy. Time is crazy. Anyways, I appreciate, you know, having this trip down memory lane. And again, I'm bummed out that I couldn't do the podcast with you ladies. And, you know, I just want to say, Melinda, it was great to get your DM. And of course, you know, we can celebrate the fact that we did Entourage together and you played my stunning stepmother who may or may have not slept with my man.
Oh my gosh.
Gotta love television. Anyways, I'm rambling. This is a long message. So cool that you guys are doing this. And I really do hope to see you live and in the flesh one of these days. And in the meantime, I'm sending so much love. All right. Be well and stay healthy. Take care. Bye.
Bye, Emmanuel. So Emmanuel was going to be our guest and we scheduled many different days. She's shooting in Vancouver and due to some circumstances, she was unable to join us today. So thank you for that lovely voicemail. She was obviously, you guys know, she played Jody. She was Alex's ex. And yes, she mentioned that when I went on to Entourage, she played my stepdaughter and I didn't even, and we worked together and she's so lovely and so vibrant and just like beautiful inside and out. And I didn't even realize that she had been on the OC or something. I don't remember
really?
That. Yeah, for some reason, I don't remember because, you know, I didn't get to do scenes. And,
right.
And, or I don't think I met her when we were shooting
Got
the
it.
OC. So we spent many, over the years, we spent a lot of time together on Entourage. So I was really excited to have her.
Yeah.
So, but that was nice.
But that was really nice. She left a voicemail. And she does, a really great job at playing this role and character. And not too shabby, right? Being Olivia Wilde's girlfriend.
Right.
Ex-girlfriend.
Right.
And
right.
a girlfriend.
No, and like she said, she had some credits before, and I think she's from, I want to say Toronto or Montreal, actually. But she said that LA, it was one of her first jobs in Los Angeles.
How cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yes.
Awesome.
Well,
thanks
anyway,
for that
thank
message.
You. Thanks for the message.
Yes. Very sweet.
Yeah.
Well, we can get into the episode and we can talk more about Jody as we go, but...
Right.
The episode opens with... Well, there's a song playing. Hands Up by Walking Concert. And we're at the pier and at the diner. And Seth is obsessing. Hold on. Let's register our surprise.
Well, and I... You know what I really like is, you know, we've had so many openers with Ryan and Seth. And now Zach has become a very welcome added third
yes.
to this group. And I really love this little scene. And of course, the boys are doing, I guess, what boys do. He's obsessing about how to handle his relationship with Alex. And he's... speculates what is it? Is there a possibility of a menage a three-way? And then he makes a summer lovers reference. You all know what that is?
No, please do tell.
The famous movie Summer Lovers, Peter Gallagher and Daryl Hannah.
Oh boy.
Right? And I'm going to forget the other actress's name, where they go to Greece and they end up in a relationship with this other woman. And it's a very...
Why did we not talk about this with Peter?
well, let's call him up. but of course, that's, you know, that was that reference to Peter's movie, Summer Lovers.
Very risque.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
But then I love that Ryan says, if you have to ask, it's probably not going to happen. And Seth says, the sex or the relationship? He's like,
either?
Both? Right.
Oh, poor Seth.
I know.
You know, it's just, he's really the odd man out because they're at the diner and then Lindsay and Summer show up. I think Summer calls them the three amigos, right?
Right.
This episode? Anyway, because Seth, it's not Seth. God, I'm being summer. Zach is really their third party, like you said. And I have to say, every time Michael Cassidy is on screen, I smile.
Do you know this whole episode, and I'll point them out, I kept going, that's a blooper. Oh, I remember that scene. That's a blooper.
Oh, really?
That's a blooper. And there's quite a few of them. In fact, and then I went, I'm going to go watch season two bloopers again last night.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. It's they're awesome. All you have to do is go on YouTube and do the OC season two bloopers.
I think that needs to be an episode where we just do bloopers.
And well, when Michael Cassidy is involved, there's quite a few bloopers.
But I just love him, you know, and he's actually working right now with a friend of mine. When I worked in Vancouver, we talked about it, a makeup artist.
Uh-huh.
And she texted me yesterday. She's like, Michael Cassidy is on the floor. I'm covering him in fake blood and cold water and it's freezing. And I was like, I wish I could be there spraying him down. he's so much fun to work with.
Oh, well, we're going to have him back. Oh,
yes.
He better be back.
He should just be our third host.
Totally. Quite a few people have actually said that.
Yeah. You know what's so funny? I did this. I'm sorry. I'm totally going off the rails here, but I did like a fan call in for Heart of Dixie, a show I was on. That was a show I was on. And I was with a couple of actors, Scott Porter and Wilson Bethel, who was also here and on the OC. And the woman, she was like, you know, a woman in her, gosh, maybe 70s. And she said, I have to tell you, the podcast with Michael Cassidy and you guys for the OC was the best one I have ever listened to.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, we got to get that Cassidy more.
Yes. When we're at the diner, you know, Seth is so, I feel so bad for him because he literally is seeing that the other two have relationships and he's decided that he's got to go tell Alex that what he wants, right? That's what Zach tells him to do. He gives him the advice. Like,
right.
You just got to tell her what to do. And I don't know if that's great advice or not.
No, probably not.
But it's like he hasn't been in a relationship all these years, but then he has, but now it's almost like he can't not be in a relationship. So.
Yeah. It feels like it was a short-lived relationship, Seth and Alex.
Yeah. It didn't really
take off.
Lift off, as she says. But
oh yeah, she says that.
Yeah.
Okay. So Seth is going to go on a mission.
Okay. Yeah.
Then we're in the kitchen and Sandy and Kirsten are discussing. Sandy is looking for an office space. They have different ideas about where they should look.
Right. And he's like, I just got to get a little guest house. And she's trying to do the corporate thing.
Yeah.
But
she offers to go with him to look at spaces.
I'm really excited about this as I, you know, look at the scene. We love Sandy Cohen so much that I want and I'm rooting for a great new storyline. And it's great to see him get back to being a public interest lawyer, what he wants to do, what his passion is.
Yes.
So it's anticipatory of what's coming
to come.
Up.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we have Caleb walking in on Marissa drinking and dancing in her room. Now, let me just ask you, what did you wear to sleep when you were in high school?
Gosh, I don't, for some reason, I'm not remembering. I'm a t-shirts and kind of boxer shorts kind of girl now.
Sure.
But I don't know that it was that. That's always, you know.
Yeah, so Marissa is wearing
lingerie.
Basically lingerie.
Well, a slip, I
guess,
or something.
It's a slip, but you know, I would classify that as lingerie. I'd put that on for like my dude.
Well, okay, so Caleb, first of all, Caleb just barging in. It's a funny scene. I love the scene. Mm-hmm. I love the energy of it. I love to see Marissa having fun. Mm-hmm. Of course, she's, you know, using her flask first thing in the morning, which, you know, it's not, apparently she's a functioning, you know, user right now, I guess. Although she's not at school. But Caleb barges in and doesn't even flinch and complains to her that his life falls apart because Julie's away in Paris. And Marissa has a very good comeback. She's doing research for a magazine in Paris about Orange County. Yeah, right.
That's a good point, Marissa.
Very good.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a funny scene and I still can't get over the nighty. But anyway, Marissa then, she calls Alex and it turns out we learned that they have been hanging out every day that week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the way she's playing it. At this point, she's just having fun.
Mm-hmm.
She's hanging out with a new friend. Somehow it's, this is why I think that they're just really enjoying each other. And she has a new friend. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And we also learned that Jody is still in town because Alex is on the phone in her apartment. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on her door. Who could it be?
And she thinks, oh my gosh, could it be you? You see, you know, Alex kind of lights up.
Yeah.
And it's Seth.
Because she's still on the phone with Marissa. So yeah,
could it be you? Yeah. And she goes, and it's Seth. Creepy. And now I feel sorry for Seth. He's like, oh, hi.
Yeah, you really just see here that like Seth and Alex, it just doesn't add up, you know? You're like, no, this is a missed connection.
Right. And I guess this is the first time Jody and Seth meet each other.
Right.
Even though they had been at the bar, I guess he didn't know or something. So it was...
Maybe.
So Emmanuel Schicke
is
there.
Yes.
In her bathroom.
In a towel. In her bathroom. So he wants to know where they stand, and Alex tells him that she doesn't do relationships, and that upsets Seth and Jody.
Right.
Doesn't it?
Right. You know, I've always been a big fan of planning ahead, scheduling trips months in advance, plotting out my next career move, figuring out what I'm doing for dinner while I'm still eating breakfast. I absolutely do that. But I never thought much about planning for kids.
Oh gosh. Knowledge is power. And when you know more, you can make better decisions for your body, your health, and your future. There aren't many decisions bigger than having a kid. But for many women, their fertility is a big question mark.
That's why Modern Fertility was created. It's an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. Mail it in with a prepaid label and you'll get your personalized results within 10 days.
You'll get insight into your hormone levels, your ovarian reserve, aka how many eggs you have compared to other women your age, and other important fertility factors. The results go deep into what every hormone means. And you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for next steps.
Traditional testing with your doctor can cost over $1,000, but Modern Fertility gets you the same info at $159, a fraction of the price. And if you go to modernfertility.com/OC, you can get $20 off your first test.
Also, if you have an HSA or FSA, you can put those dollars toward Modern Fertility.
Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/OC. That means your test will cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office.
Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OC. Modernfertility.com/OC.
I think you all know how much I love AG1. I start my day with AG1, some electrolytes, a little apple cider vinegar, a little cinnamon. I drink it all down and I'm ready to start my day and my workout. It's exactly what I need in the morning to actually break my fast. You know, did you see what I did there? Yeah. Break fast breakfast.
Uh-huh. One tasty scoop of AG1 contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, including a multivitamin, multimineral, probiotic, greens, superfood blend, and more in one convenient daily serving. The special blend of high quality, bioavailable ingredients in a scoop of AG1 work together to fill the nutritional gaps in your diet, support energy and focus, aid with gut health and digestion, and support a healthy immune system, effectively replacing multiple products or pills with one healthy, delicious drink.
It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, and contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while keeping it tasting good.
I can't tell you how much I love this stuff because I'm not the best at taking the things into my body that I need. But this makes it so easy and I can do it every day and I feel really good about it.
Join the movement of athletes, life leads, moms, dads, rookies, first timers, and everyone in between, taking ownership of their daily health and focusing on the nutritional products they really need in the simplest manner possible. That's essential nutrition.
To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune-supporting free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit athleticgreens.com/theOC today.
Many of the population are vitamin D deficient. Adding vitamin D to your daily routine is a great way to support vitamin D production during the colder months when there is less sun exposure. So you have to take advantage of this offer.
Again, simply visit athleticgreens.com/theOC to take control of your health and give AG1 a try. All right, let's move along to Lindsay, who's questioning Ryan about Caleb, and Ryan suggests that she calls him. This is so weird to me. Like the whole storyline of this forced relationship with Lindsay and Caleb, like think about it. You didn't even know your dad existed for, let's say it's like 16-ish years,
right?
However old they are. And they're forcing like, no, you're automatically family. That's your dad. That just feels so weird to me.
Well, and she has curiosity, but she's also making note of the fact that he hasn't reached out to me. He's not trying to connect with me. What do I do? And Ryan, you know, suggesting like you should talk to him. But it is really hard for a 16-year-old who's like, I'm not going to just like pick up the phone and go, hey, and for good reason, I think so.
Yeah, it's weird. Sorry.
But Sandy and Kirsten go into what they call a first-class dump. And so this is a real office at the Redondo Pier.
Uh-huh.
I remember shooting in it.
Yeah.
So I also looked, $850 is not that expensive. And I looked it up.
That's how much they said on the show?
That's what they said on the show.
Oh.
But now it's about $1,200 for the smallest space. But there are still office spaces there. So if you're looking for an office space in Redondo and you want Sandy Cohen's office.
That doesn't sound like that much to me to have an office like on the pier with the ocean and everything. And I have to say, they call it a first class dump. I loved it.
Yeah, they dressed it to look. It didn't look like that in real life.
They
dressed it to be that.
Look.
They put the fake fan up and up top. And,
oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So that's what, like our set dressers and everyone do in our...
Yeah.
Painters in our prop department. They do a good job.
Well, and yes, they do a good job. They do a fantastic job on a couple other things that I was noticing the details on this episode. So back at school, so I think this is so cute. Where you and Zach walk up to, you walk up to the coffee and do that little look over and, you know, poor Seth he's down in the dumps and Summer can tell from across the room, what's going on with Cohen? Go find out and report back to me. It's super cute.
Yeah, but he doesn't even flinch, Zach, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
The puppy dog.
Yeah, my little golden retriever. Yeah. So he goes to find out what's going on with Seth.
He's doodling.
Seth is doodling, but like really good doodling.
Right.
We see. A woman superhero.
And he comes up with the idea of, dude, this is what you need to be doing.
Yeah.
You need to do your own comic.
Yes.
And the idea is planted.
So right here is the birth of Atomic County, essentially.
Right, right. And the illustrator that did all of the illustrations, Eric White. I hope we could maybe have him on.
That would be really cool because these sketches are amazing. Mm-hmm. And I really want... I think there is a comic book that exists.
So the comic book Atomic County was Eric White and John Stevens.
Oh.
And then it turned into an animated series as well. So we're going to do some...
It turned into an animated series?
Uh-huh. Yeah. But no, I'd like to... It'd be fascinating to get into this. And just because I'm fully curious, because I remember doing the show and that they were doing this storyline and I certainly didn't have any knowledge of comic books or much interest. But I was so intrigued by the fact that they were making, although I should go back. I actually got to I did a movie called Spawn, which was a big Todd McFarlane comic book. And they actually made a comic book based on my character. So,
no way.
So there's like a 6 series of Jessica Priest and an action figure. So that's kind of a sidebar, but I thought that was really cool. So
yeah.
So when they're doing something like this for the show, I thought that was really cool. So yes, I would love to deep dive that on an episode. Maybe we'll do like a comic book episode and get some of the people behind that.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, moving on.
Alex's. We're at Alex's. Marissa questions Alex about her relationships with Jody and Seth. Alex discovers that Jody took a matching heart necklace that they both had, and Marissa convinces her that they should go to LA together to get it back.
Yeah, they're bonding over that.
They are. They're cute. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm feeling the vibe.
There's some... I mean, obviously, I know what's coming, but there's just something about this relationship. Watching it back now, and I haven't seen it in a long time, but watching it back, it's a really interesting thing. How between the writing, the editing, the music, the absolute antithesis of a feeling between Alex and Seth as opposed to Alex and Marissa.
Mm-hmm.
It's you just feel the lightness. You feel the attractiveness.
No, I like it.
I'm on the ride.
Yeah, I'm fully for it. Mm-hmm. There's a good thing going on here.
Right. There's not cynicism. They're not making fun of each other.
No, it's like real.
Yeah.
Real deal. Okay, so now Ryan shows up to talk to Caleb at his office about Lindsay.
I love Caleb's scenes. I love Aunt Allendale.
He really acts like such an ass. Right?
He, you know, and Ryan, he, it's so interesting that he's like, I just want, you know, maybe you want to, you know, catch up or reach out to Lindsay. And it's such a harsh, you know, and the first thing he says, and I don't know that he really means it. I think it's just killing the messenger. The fact that it's Ryan talking to me at all. There are people in, I hate to say this because then I admit to having some negativities, but there are people in my life that for some reason, no matter what they do, make me.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with the person. That's something in me that I've got to get over.
Right.
So Caleb can't help it when it comes to Ryan and what he represents. So when he just flat out says, if I wanted a relationship with her, I'd have one. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't mean to cuss so much.
Well, I fucking do it all the time. Also in this scene, I just want to point out that Ryan is carrying his jacket. And I didn't remember the scene prior, but often in TV, if you see something like that, it's a continuity thing where have had a jacket on or he needed to have a jacket on scene.
He did have it on at the pier.
In the prior scene. Okay.
He did in the opening of the show.
So that's why he was carrying it. Because usually we're inside shooting and you don't want to have the jacket on or whatever.
And your script will come over to you and say, you know, you had this.
Yeah, or our wardrobe was always on it. And they'd be like,
you should have this.
Here, you have to carry this because you had it on before.
And then we'll have an argument. Like, what? I couldn't have lost it between here and there? And they're like, no, we'll just prefer you to have it. We have many, many conversations like that.
Do I have to carry a purse?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
So
Sandy's new office.
Oh wait. What? But there was one line that I just thought was so, when he says, you know, Ryan says some, you know, having a relationship with her dad and he says, how's your relationship with your dad, Ryan? I mean, they're just cut below the belt.
Yeah, that's Caleb.
But Ryan responds with, you know, he says, is he still in jail? And he said, the place you'd be without Sandy.
Right.
I mean, Ryan's got
balls.
Very adult. Yeah.
Very adult balls.
Very adult.
Yeah. I just love Ryan. He's, you know, rewatching the show more and more, I'm like, I love Ryan. Why did Summer not date Ryan? I'm just kidding.
I just lost my train of thought.
Sandy's new office. Because we talked about adult balls. Sandy's new office. His old professor, Max Bloom, played by Barry Newman.
Barry Newman is a veteran stage and
screen actor
and did nominated for Emmys, Golden Globe Awards. But no, when you see his face, you just recognize. I was like, I want to know what I've seen before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, very prominent in the '70s. And anyway, so I love how we'd get a lot of, you know, hats off to you, Patrick Rush. a lot of it's just actors that have been doing it for years, and you know, between Linda Lavin and there's quite a few of them. I'll try and point them out. Obviously,
he has come to Sandy though. Is he on the phone at this point, or is he in person?
He shows up.
Sorry, and he shares that he is dying, so he needs to find his daughter Rebecca.
This is like news to us, right?
Like who? What? Here comes the storyline.
Well. Does he say the love of, I mean.
Well, we learn that Sandy was the love of Rebecca's life. So this is a whole new thing. We're like, huh? Sandy had a life before Kirsten? What? And that she ran off to Canada.
Because of some accident.
Right. So Max is asking for Sandy's help to find her.
And then he says, will your wife understand? Oh, she'll understand. Will she? Now that's a loaded, like, you know, we don't know what's going on. Why wouldn't she?
Right.
Right? Okay.
We will learn.
I'm trying to understand. I'm really trying to understand this whole storyline. And I'm trying to put myself in the writer's room and how they came up with some of these nuances that some of the audience, you know, I've reactions. I try to find reactions to these storylines. And a lot of people were very upset at Sandy's actions. But I'm trying to get behind some of the intentions of some of the things that made us so upset with Sandy.
Right.
But, yeah.
So. Okay. So we're in Sandy and Kirsten's bedroom, and he's going to talk to a political activist who is in prison.
I had a friend who, for so I had a friend who watched the show recently, yeah. and somebody who just turned on the show had never seen it before.
Yeah.
And she's from Ventura, and she called me and she said, "Hey, I just heard Peter Gallagher say Lompoc," and I said, "Yeah," and he goes, "It." She said, "It's Lompoc." Mm-hmm. She wanted to.
She needed to let you know that it was
I was like, "He said it 18 years ago. I think there's nothing we can do about it."
Yeah,
now.
But she's right. So that's where he's going to visit this person in prison. Kirsten knows about Rebecca. We learn that they were engaged.
Engaged to be engaged, she corrects her.
Ah, yes. That Sandy and Rebecca were engaged to be engaged and that she burned down a nuclear lab and fled the country.
That's pretty...
It's really specific and random.
Well, but it's... But here I go. It's like, you know, you're thinking about, okay, what is... What could we bring... First of all, I remember Peter Gallagher being so excited about this storyline. He's
yeah.
like, I've got something to do that has to do with, you know, being a lawyer in my past and mm-hmm. and something that is plausible that he could be a part of.
Plausible.
Did I say it like that?
Okay. Right. Okay, so that's a whole new, like, dun-dun-dun. We're getting deeper with it. Finding that perfect skincare routine is never easy. Let me tell you, my skin is so dry and like I'm always trying to find what can help with the dryness, with my wrinkles, with, you know, going out every day.
I've had the worst problem skin my whole life. I had bad acne. I had rosacea as I got older. Oily skin, combo skin, wrinkles, getting older skin. Between the changing seasons and trying to address my skin needs, I had to buy tons of products, which made my routine a 10-step process. But that all changed when I started using Proven Skincare. Proven's skincare formulas are rooted in the world's largest beauty database, the Skin Genome Project, and the winner of MIT's AI Technology of the Year Award.
Proven Skincare has analyzed the universe of skincare by studying the effectiveness of over 20,000 skincare ingredients from over 100,000 skincare products and over 28 million testimonials. All this data has given Proven the ability to pinpoint exactly what your skin needs.
All of this analysis results in Proven Skincare's custom 3-step system that actually works, including a personalized cleanser, day moisturizer with SPF, and personalized night cream. This simple and effective system replaces my shelf full of products.
Plus, your formulations are updated every 8 weeks to evolve with you based on changes in your skin or environment and your skin's acclimation to active ingredients. You know, this is so good for me because my skin does change, but just having this routine and knowing what I'm going to put on my face, especially the daily moisturizer with SPF, because I always forget to put SPF on, has been a lifesaver.
I'm so truly impressed with Proven Skin. And I love the cleanser. I love the day cream because of the SPF. That's really important. There's skin cancer in my family. But I love especially the night cream. I'm using Retin-A and everyone knows that Retin-A can be pretty harsh, but you need to combine it with the right moisturizer. And this one is totally, totally helping my skin. The products just feel so good. Give your skin exactly what it needs with Proven Skincare. Go to provenskincare.com to take the free skin genome quiz and use code THEOC for $20 off your first order. That's provenskincare.com, code THEOC for $20 off your first order.
Close your eyes. It's time to discover what starting and growing your own business feels like. Whether your business is bedsheets or skincare, Shopify's with you every step of the way. Now, open your eyes. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/podcast22. Shopify.com/podcast22.
ProvenSkincare.com, code THEOC.
Let's go to Marissa's room. Caleb tries to parent Marissa about her whereabouts, but she shuts him down as she walks past him to go meet Alex.
Yeah.
She's really, again, adult balls here.
Yeah, but and Caleb's trying to take, you know, and it's like, why is he showing up here? What's going on? And since Julie is out of town, which I guess I should explain why. It's like, why isn't Julie in town?
She's, right. But you said that earlier, why she wasn't in town.
Well, yes, but in truth be told, some I don't, I'm sure we've said this on the podcast. People have different contracts, and one is an all shows produced, which means that you're in all shows produced, and even if you're not, they have to pay you. Or they call it a 10 of 13. For every 13 episodes, you have to either be in 10 or they have to pay you for 10. And it's a way of saving money. And because we get paid well. Mm-hmm. And if not all of the cast members have every episode, they don't have them in particular episodes for, you know, for those times. And it's just basically a way of saving money. So, yeah.
Poor Julie.
Well, I have to tell you though, there were times I had total FOMO. So I would literally say, why didn't you have me in the episode? And it would, you know, Josh was, because of your contract. And I'm like, yeah, but you don't have to go by my contract. You could, if you loved me, you'd have me in the episodes more. But really, it does. It is a very...
It's just production.
It's a very important cost. Way to have...
Yeah.
Yeah. So when your favorite character is not on an episode, it's usually it's for saving some cashola.
Okay. So we're back at school and Seth and Zach and Ryan discuss the comic. They land on an autobiographical comic about a boy in the OC with powers.
Okay. This entire scene is bloopers. And there's so you can see that they're improv-ing and you can see them just having so much fun. And you can see Ben, actually, the final cut, you can see Ben cracking up.
Oh, yeah. That's what I noticed because Seth is going off and improv-ing, Adam is, and Ben's going to lose it. It's so, they're having so much fun. These guys.
Yeah.
And Summer is just so annoyed.
She calls him lame.
Who?
She calls, okay, that was so lame, she says to Zach.
Yeah, well, she's mad.
I was like, that's kind of not nice.
I know, she's not always nice, but she's also like doesn't have her boyfriend. He's being taken over by the comic books and Cohen. It's like her enemies.
Right. But this is, I mean, I have no doubt that this is exactly what could come, you know, how a comic book could come about. So we won't get into it now, but I did look it up. All the different characters that ended up being in Atomic County.
Yeah.
They're pretty fun. They're all the descriptions.
Wow. I look forward to it.
Yeah. Okay. So, yes. So we're in the Newport group. And of course, you know, she's saying we want to discuss Lindsay. And
on Valentine's Day 1929, a group of gangsters was massacred in a cold Chicago garage. The crime shook the country, and even though investigators had only just started looking for answers, everyone was sure they already knew who was behind the crime. Al Capone. Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of the new true crime history podcast, American Criminal. We take you inside the minds of some of our most notorious felons and outlaws, exploring the dark side to the American dream. In our latest season, a child of Italian immigrants sets out to make good on the promises of that dream. But Al Capone's path to success doesn't take him down the straight and narrow. Instead, he transforms himself from a smarter-than-your-average thug into the most infamous criminal America has ever known. Listen to American Criminal Al Capone wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get early ad-free access to the entire season first, plus hundreds of other ad-free history podcast episodes, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
Yes. I know older generation people that will go unnamed who literally say, you never call me. And I'm just like, well, why don't you pick up the phone?
Oh, that's my grandpa. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You don't call me. Like,
you don't call me.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like, but so it's left up to the younger generation.
And that's not going to happen.
Always. And she goes, she's in high school, Dad. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Come on. And she's right.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we're at school with Lindsay and she's telling Ryan that she A9.com'd Caleb.
Yeah.
What is that?
So I had to look this one up too. It's the Amazon algorithm search engine. So So it's still used the same way when you go on Amazon and you search. That is it's similar to Google where they use keywords and things. So it's their search.
So back then it was kind of like a Google?
So back then, I think, you could use it, I guess.
I tried to I literally Googled it and it was like error.
Yeah, it's Amazon's search engine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Good. Yeah.
So she searches him and discovers he's not a good guy. Does she discover he's not a good guy?
Well, I would have thought she would have done that way sooner when you find out who your dad is, but... It's in the script. Yeah. Or you wait to do that. Or maybe Lindsay's not the person to do that.
Maybe not.
But she says, you know what? He's like so not the person that she would admire as a human being. She said basically everything that's wrong with the world is this man.
Yes.
In her perception.
Yes. So how do they get to dinner? Well, how did that happen?
So all of a sudden, because she says, so all of a sudden the phone rings.
Oh.
And she goes, right. Oh, and he goes, that's going to be Kirsten. Mm-hmm. And so she goes, hi, Kirsten.
Oh, it's the Newport group calling.
Yeah, it's Newport group. And the way Caleb talks to her, it's like he's talking to a business associate.
Yeah.
He's like, you and I need to sit down. What am I, like, what's going to happen?
Right. So he calls and they're going to go to dinner. And then she obviously asks Ryan to come.
Well, yeah, she walks in and says, that was Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to go to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you come with me? Now, she so doesn't get how much Ryan should not be a part of this.
Right.
And she's like, I'm not going if you don't go.
Right.
So she convinces him, thinking, it, you know, anyway. Which I understand. She wants some support, but she just doesn't quite get it. She should listen to Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go to the lighter things in life. Like this next scene.
Yeah.
Alex and Marissa are in Alex's car. It's like a Jeep, right? Like a topless Jeep or something?
Topless Jeep, yeah.
Topless.
Is that what you call it? Top down, top... Or...
I don't know.
Portions for it? Foxes by Rilo Kiley plays. And this, I gotta tell you, this reminds me of the early 90s, 1990, 91. I had a Jeep just like that.
That's so cool.
And yeah.
Did you call it topless?
Maybe I did. I don't know. But it was white and gray and it had a hard top. But you take the hard top off and it was...
It's
you
really
know,
a Jeep Wrangler, right?
Jeep like Wrangler. Yeah. And I always had this image of, you know, short skirts in the early 90s, cowboy boots.
Aww.
And my hair was like down to my butt and it would just fly all over. And I would... And then, of course, it got stolen. I was at the Miller's Outpost on Robertson
Miller's
and Olympic.
Miller's Outpost. Yeah. Oh my God.
I went in to exchange some 501s and I came out and there was only glass left. And I was like, huh, my car's gone. And then
Are
I got it back.
Are you kidding?
Oh, and it had been stripped and I just let, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, your poor Jeep.
I know. I never had another one.
But could you never go to Miller's Outpost again because you were traumatized?
Probably. You know what's funny? Remember those, what was it called? The lock on the...
Yes. The crow, not the crowbar. The,
you know.
Yes. The lock
the
you
red
put on
one?
Your steering wheel. It was
I
red.
I didn't put
club.
It on.
That the club.
The club.
Club.
I it was the one time I didn't put it on.
You usually did, but that one time you didn't, it got stolen.
I was in and out in 20 minutes and it was just, yeah.
Do you think the club would work today?
They know how to, yeah, I don't know.
Ask Ryan.
Anyway, but this is a beautiful shot. And Marissa and Alex are in their Jeep. And I think this is a great scene where she explains, you know, how she got emancipated.
From
how
her parents.
Does that work?
Yes.
And she comes up with a really good, she said, make sure, just piss your parents off well enough.
Emancipated is basically when you like divorce your parents and you can be declared.
You be declared
an adult.
An adult.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she asks how that happens. And the fact that she makes a point that is, you know, you probably have parents that actually love you, but questionable because of Jimmy's actions. I mean, of course they love her, but I don't think that Julie would never allow her to be emancipated. That would take her power away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's you're really seeing their vibe and the tattoo. She's commenting on her tattoo and it's so pretty and the Jeep and everything. It's like, I want to be in that car. Okay. But let's go to prison.
The mystery solved. Remember with Patrick?
Yes.
We were like, he thought that Ryan's dad was Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah. But no, you know who Jeffrey Dean Morgan is in this next scene.
Yeah, they should have kept him.
Yeah, they should have kept him. Is this the only scene he's in ever in the whole series?
And then he ended up on, I think the year after or within the next year, he was on Grey's and became a megastar.
Yeah.
He's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big star here.
But we do learn, he asks about Rebecca, and obviously there's some kind of rivalry that never gets explained too much, but it's, we also learn that there was a fatality.
And he's the guy that was supposedly with Rebecca when they blew up this nuclear lab. Is that right?
And he's the one who actually lit it on fire.
Yeah.
And that there was nobody was supposed to get hurt. And he's the one that delivers the news that she's dead.
That Rebecca's dead.
Yeah. He says she's dead. 'Cause you're never going to find her. And Sandy says, because you won't help me.
Right.
No. because she's dead.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm going to say that a lot this episode. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. So yes, big bomb drop there. Rebecca's dead. Jeffrey Dean Morgan also, rest in peace on this show. It was the only time we saw him. Very sad. Cohen Kitchen. Sandy shares with Kirsten that Rebecca is dead. But Sandy doesn't believe that she's dead.
Right. And why?
Why?
He's just like, why? You know what? And this is where sometimes we have to use our own, you know, our little thinking caps.
Our own brilliance.
Because he actually has to think, I guess being a defense lawyer, you have to think like a criminal. So if he's thinking like, maybe this guy, he told me that just to fuck with my head. Like,
right.
That's how bad the rivalry was.
I believe that.
So there must be something, or he just wants confirmation, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, he doesn't believe it until he really hears it.
Right, yeah. Right. They also do a shot of Kirsten sipping on her wine. And whenever you see a close-up of the wine, these are these little Easter eggs, I guess, that are supposed to kind of foretell what's going on
mm-hmm.
with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kelly always does such a great job with
yes.
these scenes. And,
agreed.
And we're not quite sure, it's interesting, like, why Kirsten is so kind of bent out of shape yet. We're not.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be revealed. Marissa and Alex get to Jody's house.
They're in LA.
Yeah. This was really interesting because you haven't seen Alex's character, like kind of nervous and a little scared that like Jody obviously has some kind of power over her.
She didn't act nervous or until Jody showed up. The first time we see her nervous is when Jody is in the picture.
Yeah. So clearly this ex of hers has some kind of effect on her.
Right. Would you be nervous doing that?
Fuck yeah.
Confronting anybody or having some kind of confrontation breaking up with somebody or trying to
mm-mm.
end something can obviously put you into that adrenaline mode.
Oh no, I would always have to find like an excuse to break up. Like I could never just be direct and confront
it. I don't love you anymore. I don't want to be with you.
Could you do that?
No.
No, I was always like, oh, well, you know, you ate the potato chip, you smacked your lips. It's over. Not really like that. But an excuse anyway.
But she's annoyed that Marissa's there. But Alex is like, don't let me spend the night. And she's like, well, you have to take me home. There's all kinds of things. And
you see how Jody is with her. Very persuasive, like.
And very seductive.
Uh-huh.
And maybe that's what it is. Maybe there's like that, you know, the show doesn't go too deep into. I mean, maybe there's just a super sexual connection between these two people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something, for sure.
There's something.
All right, so Seth, we're in Seth's room and he's working on the comic book. Brian Gatwood, a.k.a. Kid Chino.
He goes, hey, it's Brian Gatwood.
Yeah.
A.k.a. And I love how the characters are introduced through the show.
Yeah.
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 Little Miss Cosmo and
I think it's...
And you're Little Miss Vixen.
I'm Little Miss Vixen.
With your killer credit cards. And there's Marissa is Cosmo Girl with a magic drink.
The flask.
I guess.
Okay, so Ryan's telling Seth that he has to go to dinner with Caleb.
He's like, he hates you.
Yeah.
Flat out. So I love Seth's honesty. He's like, but Caleb hates you. And then he said, he asked my mom once if I was mildly retarded.
Now,
which is, you can't say that.
You can't say that.
No. Well, yeah. No. Maybe. Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just quoting the show, guys.
I meant like, I didn't mean you can't say, well, I mean, no one can say that. Like, you can't. Anyway, that's pretty brutal.
It's not appropriate.
No, it's not. Okay. And then we also see that Seth has also drawn like Summer a lot.
Right. So Ryan picks up the book and he's looking at the book that he drew over the summer.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, whatever. But I think what they're conveying to us is that Ryan's perception is you're obsessed with Summer and these are really good and you cannot let Zach see them. And I was thinking, well, why couldn't he did them when he didn't even know that Summer was dating Zach. Why couldn't he? But I think...
Well, it's a little excessive.
It is excessive. That's what we're supposed to... Okay.
Right. So he's like, Ryan's like, you can't show these to Zach.
But they're really good.
Yeah.
But they're really good.
Okay. So we're still in Jody's house. The girls are still there. Jody's obviously seductively drinking a beer. And Alex is going through her stuff. And Jody's warning Marissa, like, you're next.
You're next.
Assuming that they're going to be together. But Marissa goes, she says she's going to the bathroom. And what does she do? She snoops.
And easily finds the necklace that, in the jewelry box.
Right, that Alex couldn't find.
Couldn't find.
Gotta love TV.
But and, I do, Marissa does this. She comes up with, like, she's quick and she has good ways of, you know.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden calls her girlfriend and says, let's get out of there.
Because Jody's trying to have her stay. Yeah. And Marissa's like, no. And, you know, pretends to be her girlfriend to get her out of there. And it works. Alex is very grateful for this. And
gives her.
Gives Marissa the other heart necklace.
Which I wouldn't personally want. I wouldn't want that. But I guess I could see it.
It's the sentiment, like, sure. Like, now it's us. Now it's us. Now we share these necklaces.
But it's, there's like nothing, they're not at the place where some gesture like that could ruin anything.
Right.
They're just kind of high on life.
That's fair. And they lock eyes.
Woo.
Something's brewing. Okay. We're back in Seth's room and Zach is impressed with Seth's comic. Summer shows up, pulling Zach away. Why? Because he was supposed to pick her up an hour ago.
Yeah.
Enough is enough, Zach.
I mean, if he was supposed to pick her up, he's so late that she had to leave to go show up.
Yes.
Anyway. Okay.
Yes. And she goes to get him out of there.
Yeah.
She barges on in. So they leave, but then Summer has left her bag. Now, this is classic.
it's kind of contrived, but it works. Okay.
She grabs her bag and what happens? Knocks Captain Oates down right on the floor in front of where Seth was hiding the sketchbook with all of the pictures of Summer.
Do you have any memory of, like, shooting scenes like that where you're like, you have to try and make it real? It has to happen for the script, but you kind of knock it and go, oh, hey, Mr. Oates.
They're really hard scenes to play.
They are,
because it's like they're so obvious that with me, I would try to throw them away as much as possible because it's so obvious. You know, I did what I could.
It worked.
It kind, you know, Summer's like so weird as it is that you're like, yeah, she probably would like be talking to Captain Oates and like doing this thing. So I guess we made it work. But they're very hard scenes to play.
But then, of course, she sees the notebook. She grabs the notebook.
She takes
it. She opens the notebook. And she takes the notebook.
She does.
And, you know, for so many of us say, ooh, that's wrong. But would I do it? Maybe.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
Now we're at dinner with Lindsay and Caleb.
And he's being nice.
Yes.
He's being really nice.
Until Ryan shows up. Ryan shows up late, first of all.
Because he rode his bike.
Okay.
I don't know. We don't know how he got there.
And then Caleb instantly thinks that it's a setup and that they're both in it for money. Caleb, come on, man.
You know, I mean, super wealthy people
always think people are after money.
I do believe that there's a lot of, and some are. I mean, if you knew a billionaire or multi, I think people do get hit up for money all the time.
Okay.
And I think there are people like that, but I do, I thought Shannon did a really great job when she was like, what? Like, what?
Yeah. She's a wonderful actress. She really plays this role well.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, he takes off. He stalks off. He's just a big a-hole.
Yes. All right. Cohen's house. Sandy calls a lawyer named Mark to help him find information to prove that Rebecca is dead. Kirsten is not happy about all of this.
But this is where we kind of learn.
We're learning more about Rebecca and Sandy's relationship.
Right.
Because Kirsten says, the smart political Jewish woman you were supposed to marry before you ended up with me, you're still in love with her.
Which I shouted at the screen. I went, come on, Kirsten.
Right.
This is so out of character. But, and it is. I think it's so odd that she was like, what is it that we don't know? And that's where I have to say, okay, suspension of disbelief. It's okay. I'm going to find out like what's going on that this one, but that she would feel that insecure and actually say, you're still in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
And and it's 22 years ago and they just celebrated their 20th.
Right. So it's showing that it really strikes a chord with her.
There's
clearly
something deeper and I don't have to go into my whole theory now. But it was really upsetting. But then
right after, the phone rings and he has to go answer it. And it's Mark, the lawyer, confirming that Rebecca's dead.
Confirms. Confirms. And then, now, do you think Kirsten is guilty or relieved?
I think a little of both.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, she's like, oh, Sandy. She's like, she just dropped.
Well, don't you feel
them.
Like there's always like that ex in whoever your current, you know, significant other's life, maybe not now for you, but in your life, you've had that where there's been an ex where you're threatened by.
I suppose. Well, it's, I guess it could be, but it just feels like she's jumping to such conclusion. But my theory is it needed to start here for the TV show to go where it went. I feel like that you're in still in love with her should have happened a little while longer, further down the road. But
I don't know though. I think when something really strikes this in someone and it's, you know, that big of a deal.
Right.
It's there, you know?
Yeah.
Instinct also is.
I think it's important that it needed to come out, but it was definitely, it feels to me that if you say that to your significant other, it's a huge insult. Mm-hmm. Unless Kirsten's right.
Right.
I don't know.
We don't know. Now, Pretty Ugly Before by Elliot Smith plays. Mm. This was a very big song at that time. Well, I mean, just in my life is
this,
what I meant.
I love this song. And I love this. And they use this song over the next few scenes. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's a good song. And we're in Summer's bedroom where she's flipping through the drawings of her as a comic character. Yeah. She digs it. She's impressed.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I just...
had a look on your face. Well, what is it?
No, I can see... This, think about it, guys. From when Seth left, when he took off at the wedding, till now, Summer's been really pissed off at him.
Yeah.
And she's barely been tolerating him. And now there's this little...
She's softening a bit.
...tidbit of, oh my gosh, he did this. She doesn't necessarily have dates on it, but she may be thinking that all this time, maybe this is... We're not seeing them. I mean, we are seeing them, but it's the reaction Summer's having must be that he's thought about me this much. Whoa.
Right.
And it's stirring some feelings in her, for sure.
Stirring them up.
I'm just for it. I'm for it.
So Lindsay and Ryan are obviously done with dinner. She's dropping him off at the house.
In her car, even though he came.
Well, you said he rode his bike.
I don't know. That's my guess.
I thought he stole a car, crashed it.
That's what he did. He abandoned it this time. Yeah.
Lindsay's upset, understandably so.
Well, but she's upset and, you know, she's like, I just wanted to get to know him. And, but she says, but this is where you're like, maybe I should have listened to you, Ryan. He really doesn't like you. And you were right. And so she, you know, he wants to help. But at this point, she's like, let's not do it. At this point, just leave it alone. Everyone leave it alone.
Right.
Okay.
Marissa and Alex walk into a bar. Just kidding. Marissa and Alex walk into Marissa's bedroom. Marissa takes her shirt off and reveals she got a lower back tattoo. No, they both got... Did they not get matching tattoos? Because you can see Alex's lower back and she has one too.
I don't...
Doesn't she? Yeah. I think they got matching tattoos. That's my...
Yeah, I don't... They didn't necessarily... Talk
no,
about
but you
it.
See it, and I think that's
I didn't catch that. Good
no,
observation.
That's a very popular spot for tattoos back then.
Right.
That lower back.
I personally
do you have one?
No.
Oh.
But I've always thought it was beautiful because I don't know why it got kind of a negative connotation, which I think is rude. But yes. But I think it's a pretty spot for a tattoo.
Yeah, it was very popular those years.
And if anybody says it's negative, that's on you. You're the negative.
Summer decides to go to Seth and confess that she stole.
I love her honesty.
Something. You do?
I do.
Yeah, no, she's pretty upfront. I feel like with them, they're very transparent. Summer.
Isn't it funny that he thinks that, you know, Adam's performance through this whole episode has been very understated and very mellow and very like he doesn't have too much going on, so he's working on his comic and and it really lends itself to not the obsessive neurotic Seth trying to get something. Mm-hmm. It lends itself to things happening naturally. Mm-hmm. Happening naturally.
Yeah, so he realizes right when she says she stole something that it is the notebook and he thinks she'll be mad, but
she likes it.
And she asks if she could keep one of the drawings. And they agree they shouldn't tell Zach.
Right. But you know what? I just thought it was such a sweet scene. It was so well done. And I was like, I just want to push you guys together. Like, squish you guys right there. Mm. And the jeans, gotta say, so low.
Dude, that trend, like the super low jeans, I'm like so happy that trend died. Or so I thought. Because like, I feel like now, like, so Kanye has his new, like, new lady. She's given like whole new life to like low rise.
Really?
Oh yeah. Have you not seen? It's like, okay, so I'm like, maybe it's a trend again. I personally do not want to adopt it ever.
Well, okay, so it's because, I mean...
But it looks good. I'm not saying...
Low cut is really, it's very cute on people that can wear it. However, if you ever were going out to dinner, you always had to bring a shirt to tie around your waist or jacket because
everything would be hanging out.
That's what I, you know, it's like...
I remember getting the lowest jeans. I was like on a trip with my family and I got the low... They had them and I was like, I need these jeans. I probably still have them. I'm like a hoarder. I will never, ever... Who wants that? All that? I don't need to see that.
Well, yeah.
On me.
The muffin top at my age shows up, so.
Listen, but I'm telling you, his new lady, she's rocking him. Maybe they're back. Okay.
Well, anyway, so, you know, when Sandy says, after he says, I've got to tell Professor Bloom that Rebecca's dead, apparently he doesn't go right to the professor. He Mm-mm. goes to the bar. And is having a drink. Now, I'm assuming it's just this is really intense for him. And he needs to stop and have himself a soda pop. Or something.
A little harder.
A little harder.
Yeah.
So he...
Big news.
But then he calls the professor and says, meet me at the office. Right.
In the pool house, Seth is asking Ryan about dinner with Caleb. And Ryan says he keeps trying to help, but makes it worse.
Yep.
I just licked my microphone. Ew. Disgusting. Better clean this, guys.
Not ew. Yay.
Seth shares that he may be making progress with Summer.
Yeah.
And she shares that she liked his drawings.
It's just, and you know, once again, kind of a sweet little scene between them.
Little nugget.
Yeah. Not neurotic.
All right.
Here we go.
Sandy's office. Max walks in.
Super excited. I've got something to show you.
And behind him.
Enters.
Rebecca, played by Kim Delaney.
And Peter's
back from the dead
face. Rebecca.
Yeah.
His face lights up.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh. And then we cut. And that's a cliffhanger. We haven't had a lot of cliffhangers.
This is a good cliffhanger.
I'm super
like invested in this storyline, I have to say, as I'm watching.
Yeah. Okay, guys. That's it. See ya.
No. Cliffhanger. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
See, I did it again. I told you.
Yeah. So, I love this. I love the storyline. Yes.
I love all the storylines that are happening. Alex and Marissa, Atomic County, and this big one with Sandy and Rebecca.
Yeah.
And Kirsten.
I remember Peter being so excited about the episode. And I remembered that they went through a bunch of different actors and for some reason I felt like Peter was gonna, he said, I'm talking to my friend Ellen Barkin.
Oh.
Yeah.
He wanted her to come on.
Or maybe there was someone like Rene Russo, or there was just a number of names that just kept popping out. And the lovely Kim Delaney ended up playing Rebecca Bloom.
Yeah. We'll get more into it, guys.
We're gonna get more into it next week's episode. Up next, we've got some fans. Let's get to that.
Okay, so today we are going to take your fan questions live. We are speaking with two people who are, as they tell us, huge OC fans.
I'm so excited. our first fan, thank you so much for being here. Your name is Jason.
Yes.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Jason.
How are you guys?
Good.
Well, it's very nice to meet you virtually.
You guys too. It's crazy because I've seen you on TV. I was telling the producer, I've watched this show. Literally, I'm on my ninth time watching it.
What? Are you serious?
I don't watch a lot of TV, but like when I find something I like, I just stick with it. So
I get
watching it over and over.
That's so cool. Well, you definitely remember it way better than I do. I mean, I should just come to you with my questions.
And what year did you actually discover the show?
So my son was just being born in 2003. We started watching it right away.
Okay.
And what's funny is I had never been to California in my life and fell in love with the scenery. So I ended up moving out there because of the show. I went out there to go visit Newport Beach and fell in love with it. And I started investing in real estate and ended up buying a house out there. Now I travel between California and Illinois. And it was all because of the OC.
Okay. Wow. So,
kind of crazy.
I have a question for you. If you got into real estate and you got into real estate in Newport, how much has it gone up since this show has been on?
It's horrible now. It's crazy. It's almost unaffordable now. I mean, it was bad back then, but it's crazy. What's kind of funny is one of the houses I bought had this poster in my background in the house. And I wanted to message you, Rachel, on Instagram and ask if this was actually real because it's got your autograph on it.
What?
Really?
We can't see the poster.
Yeah, it's hard to see.
It's kind of hard to see. I don't know if I can bring the camera in to show you.
What is it? What is the picture? Oh.
I don't know if you can see it there.
Oh, yeah.
If I really signed it, I probably would have written right over Ben's face. No, I'm just kidding.
You get Rachel.
I just thought that was so cool. A house I bought and found that in there.
Wow. Oh, you found that in the house?
Yeah, that was in a house that I purchased. And I was like, oh, wow. And I looked this and I was already obsessed with the show. So to find that was just a calling. So I kept it.
So for everyone listening, it's a poster of Ben McKenzie, Ryan Atwood from the first promos, the first season of the OC. And it was hanging in a house you bought. That is, I'd call that kismet.
Rachel does her signature with a little R and like a heart, don't you?
I do. Is there a heart in my signature?
Can you see it?
I can't see it.
I believe so. It's kind of small.
You know what?
That's you.
It's probably me. You know what? Sign him Ben's posters.
I love that story.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So I heard you had a question for us.
So yeah, I was curious. So at the end of the show, the way it ends when they kind of go into the future, do you guys, are you guys happy with that ending? Or do you feel like it left no room to ever have a comeback?
Is the future like Seth and I getting married and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows like a few years into the future.
Right.
It shows Ryan in the future. And
Kirsten and Sandy have
I wonder, because I feel like it would be hard to have a comeback, obviously, have a comeback. So I don't know if they wrote it like that on purpose because they knew they were never going to bring it back.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a way because they showed that and Kirsten and Sandy have the baby and whatnot, that leaves room for a whole other generation of OC people.
Okay.
I think it was done in such a way that Josh and everyone felt there was closure.
Mm-hmm.
But
things
can always, you can always bring something back in TV world.
For sure.
I think they did intend for it to really have a full story ending button.
Right. Seth and Summer ending up together was important. And seeing Ryan as an architect, we got the idea. He had some plans in his hand. So I think we assumed that that's what happened.
For sure.
And Julie wasn't relying on any one man, just a couple. One billionaire and one Kevin Sorbo.
That's funny. Yeah, the show's definitely very cool. We're actually rewatching it now. I'm watching it with my son who's 18 now.
I was going to ask. Yeah, because if you said 2003 when your son was born, that must be a trip.
Yeah, we were just talking about you. It's funny because we started, it's been like a year. I'm like, oh, let's watch it over again. And so we're ending season one. And he's like, isn't it so funny how they write Summer? She's so stuck up at the beginning. And he goes, and then she turns totally nice like by the end of the first season. I'm like, yeah.
Right. Yeah, that was all me. No, I'm just kidding.
No, yeah. I think our characters both have some of the biggest arcs.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, you're trying to kind of screw over Ryan right now. I believe we're at that part, which is kind of going on throughout all the seasons.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think that ever dies.
Julie doesn't quite come around until after season three. Season four.
Yeah.
And even then, anyway. Yeah.
I love Julie. Julie's arc is my favorite and everything about her character.
Two best characters, definitely. That's why I thought it was so cool. I'm like, they're both going to be here?
Aww.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. Well, you know what? I just thank you so much. And we don't appreciate anything more than the fans and especially yourself. You've seen it nine times.
Yeah.
And definitely. I know it's from 2003 and I love it. I still, it's new to me.
Aww. That's so awesome. And are you in Newport now or where are you?
No, I'm in Illinois. And it's absolutely horrible. Yeah. I don't want to be here anymore.
Right.
What's funny, my son actually got into Berkeley.
Oh.
He got a full ride scholarship here. So he's here for 2 years. Then hopefully he's reapplying to Berkeley and going to go there. So hopefully I'll be there full time in about a year.
That's awesome.
My daughter's in Chicago and it's been dumping snow. And she has sent me the funniest videos of just, she has to, her school was closed. But oh. she has to walk 2 blocks to her work, and she's trudging in 2-3 feet of snow right now.
Man, she's waiting to come back. Girls are not equipped for that kind of weather.
She was born in Laguna Beach, so she's excited to come home.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling in and wanting to talk to us and being a supporter of the show. That's so awesome.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, and congratulations to your son and all of his college endeavors. Whatever and wherever.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jason.
It was so nice to meet you.
No problem. You guys too.
Next up, we have another fan named Allie. Hello, Allie.
Hi. Hi, Rachel and Melinda. Nice to meet you guys.
It's so nice to meet you. Thank you for calling in.
Are you kidding? Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Now, where are you from?
I am from Los Angeles, California.
Oh, nice.
Oh, born and raised?
Born and raised.
Me
born
too. Raised. Nice.
So you are an OC fan. You seem on the... What year did you discover it? Because I can tell you're on the younger side.
So I'm actually a little bit older than I look.
That's always good.
Yeah, it is. So I discovered it maybe like the 7th grade. So 2004-ish. So kind of like when it came out. It came out in 2003.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm actually 30. I just turned 30.
Happy birthday.
I've been an thank you. I've been an OC fan like throughout the entire series. So, you know, almost 20 years later and I'm still here.
Wow. I mean, to discover it in 7th grade, that's pretty crazy.
I've always said there are a generation of kids, especially if you were like a freshman in high school, it defines your entire, if you were and a fan, it defines your high school years. We've said that.
Yeah.
So, we discussed how people could be influenced by Seth or Summer or when they went to school, you were either a Ryan or a Seth, you know, lover, I guess.
I was a Seth.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Clearly.
For sure.
What stands out for you? What were your favorite storylines? What influenced you about from the OC?
A million and one things influenced me. I will say one of my favorite things, if I had to pinpoint one about the OC, is it feels like home. Like from the Cohen house and like feeling like I'm eating breakfast in the kitchen with them to feeling like Harbor was my own high school to like Saturday night at the bait shop. I truly feel like it is like another home to me. And, you know, a lot of times I feel like teenagers and even adults, if they are, you know, they're stressed at work or there's too much homework and they just like need to get out of their own lives for a second, they resort to a show just to like get them out of their head. That was and still continues to be the OC for me. And even at, you know, 30 years old, I watch the show every single night before I go to bed. It puts me to sleep to the point where my girlfriend is like, okay, like, let's turn it off. You know, like, let's move on. I can't move on. I can never move on.
Well, you know what? Our producer actually mentioned to us that one of the storylines that maybe influenced something for you was the Alex and Marissa storyline. Can you tell us like how that impacted you when you were watching it?
Yeah, for sure. So I have been with my girlfriend now for a little over 5 years. And a lot of times when people ask me like my coming out story, you know, a lot of people when they come out, they feel at some point like a little different or like they don't fit in, especially when, you know, you hit puberty and boys are starting to like girls, girls are starting to like boys. And that was actually not what had happened to me. I was like boy crazy. And I obviously was obsessed with the OC, as you know. And when the Marissa Alex episodes, you know, started airing, I was just so intrigued by it. And it made me think it was cool. And it wasn't like, oh my God, this is making sense. It was more like, I need to give this a try. it was weird. All of a sudden, after these episodes, I started having like random crushes on girls in my grade. And it was not before this. It was truly just after I've seen those episodes. So to this day, I credit the OC for inspiring me to experiment with women. And, you know, I think a lot of times I have friends come to me or people come to me and say, you know, tell me your coming out story. How did you tell friends? And honestly, Rachel, I could say that your character, Summer, being so accepting when Marissa told you that she's dating Alex. And I remember you were like, Alex, girl, Alex. And it honestly helped me tell my friends and feel like they would accept it.
Wow. I think that is so cool. And for, you know, anyone to hear that it inspired you and you felt like you felt comfortable more and free to be you basically and like want to go that way. And people were accepting, and that's usually the response, right? But it's always kind of like intimidating to think about. But I just think that's pretty awesome. And we love to hear it.
And honestly too, like I don't, and I think that eventually I would have wanted to experiment with women, but I don't know if it wouldn't be so soon if it weren't for the OC. I think that I was so infatuated with it. I was like, wow, Olivia Wilde, Misha Barton, like, are you kidding? And there's like a certain point when I was like, I don't know if I want to like be Misha Barton or if I like her like that.
Right.
And then it was so strange. And then I was just confused. I was, you know, probably like 12 years old. And then she started dating Alex. And at that point I'm like, no. I want to be Misha Barton. I want to date Alex. And that's kind of like when I figured out like, okay, this is my type. This is like, so just, I don't know. It kind of put into perspective like where I'm at in my life. And I just thought it was cool.
And as we've said before, I love the story of Alex and Marissa. Yep. And I'm the way it was done, the way it wasn't, you could tell that they really just liked each other as people. I mean, obviously they're very attractive people, but I believe you can fall for attractiveness isn't just physical. It's falling for the spirit of someone, the soul of someone.
Absolutely.
And
And when they look like Olivia Wilde and Misha Barton. But do you have any questions for us that you wanted to ask before we have to go?
I have a million questions, but I was limited to two, so I'll go with my two.
Okay.
So one of the questions that I have for you guys is, at what point did you two realize what an impact the show is having on people, specifically teenagers coming into their own skin? I think that, you know, there was probably a certain point that you're like, whoa, I mean, we're impacting the world. And how did that change you, not only as actresses, but just in your own personal life? Did that make you think of yourself or your peers any differently?
Wow.
Well, I think the podcast, to be honest, has defined just how much the show had a cultural impact because we're really deep diving it. I had an inkling kind of at the time. I mean, we were only measuring it maybe by, you know, fans and paparazzi and that, but that's different than cultural and the for instance, you know, the impact of just Seth or, you know, as we found out with some of our guests and how he was a character that really had a voice that a lot of kids hadn't really felt before, or that there was representation in some of our characters that maybe it wasn't super original on television, but that kids really responded to. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and then you could go so far as like, I mean, for the Julie Coopers, look at the Housewives, you know, that impact has happened. So there's so many different things that I think we're finding it even more so now. That's
Yeah, I would say looking back, it's more clear. At the time, it was my first show I'd ever done. You know, I was 21 years old. So it was more like, oh, cool, people like what we're doing, you know? Right. And there wasn't like too much thought to it. But just seeing how it has resonated and how it still is finding audiences, it just feels really special. And like we were a part of this like special thing and eternally grateful. And being able to do this podcast and talk about it is even more so like expressing gratitude, you know what I mean?
And then we get to talk to people like you who tell us some really cool stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another question I had. Okay, so how did you pull certain factors and just aspects of your own personal life into the show to just relate more to your own character? Because I know, you know, I'm sure Melinda, like there are parts of Julie that you're like, ooh, cringe. Like I don't, that's not how I want to be portrayed. But what did you pull from your personal life to just put yourself in that position?
I actually did Julie after the show. Like, I moved to a trailer park and I did a porno. And
you had me for a second. Oh, I was like, what?
I know.
I know, like, you did it.
You don't know how true that is. Just kidding.
Oh, I got to do some deep, deep digging tonight.
No. No, Julie, definitely. I steal from people I know. I steal from mm-hmm. actors. I steal from anything that, Julie's humor can, just her goofiness is, if you see Julie being really goofy, that's me. That's probably mm-hmm. the closest thing to me.
Yeah. Well, I think really Josh Schwartz, the creator, wrote us into our characters so much. So it just kind of mm-hmm. came this natural blend of us being us on screen and Josh literally writing us and taking things from our personal lives. So it was a, yeah. you know, perfect recipe for
yeah.
doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not a gold digger. No, I'm going to the trailer park. No,
it's honestly all so believable. So, I mean, awesome. I remember I was on set once at the OC because my friend's mom is an actress on Seventh Heaven. She's friends with Peter Gallagher. So he invited us on set. And I met actually both of you guys.
What?
Oh. Rachel, I remember walking to set and you were in your robe and you were eating a pizza. And I'm like, this girl is so cute. Like, oh my God. And you were probably, I think you were filming at that point season like 3 or 4. And I just remember you were probably like 22 or something. And I always looked up thinking like, wow, they're like so adult. And you know, I can't imagine me being that age. And here I am 30. And I'm like, I'm still not as old as they are. And it's just, it's so
you never
surreal
will be.
To me.
That. Yeah, never will be. But you can eat pizza in a robe.
That does seem like very fitting for you, Rachel.
Oh, yes, for sure. That's hilarious.
That's awesome.
Well, I know.
I love all of your stories, all of your connections. Thank you for sharing them with us. And I guess meeting you again. Yeah. I didn't realize we had met you before. And that's super cool.
Thank you guys.
This has been so much fun, Allie.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah.
For me as well. You guys keep killing it. You are two inspirational women. And I will keep watching the show from today until I'm another 30 years, 60 Aww. Years old.
Well, I love that. And thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening. Follow, rate, and review Welcome to the OC Bitches wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you like to watch your faces, check it out on YouTube or on HBO Max.
Bye, bitches.
Hi, everyone. It's Rabia Chaudhry.
And I'm Ellen Marsh.
And we have a new podcast called Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. As you know, I am a very smart lawyer.
You are. You're so well-respected in the entire world. You know everything.
Thank you so much.
And as you know, I'm a famous Broadway star. Gorgeous. I sing like a nightingale.
Well, yes. At least that's what your mom says. Just kidding. This is Ellen Marsh. And
that's I'm Rabia.
But we are teaming up to bring you a show like you have never heard before.
True crime meets talk show. Nobody's done it. We're going to do it. We're going to do the impossible. And it's the two things that I love. Ellen, I think you like it too.
What? True crime and talking?
Yeah.
I'm there. Every other week, we will have a guest talking about whatever true crime case they are obsessed with. We have a list, everything from the Lacey Peterson murder.
Yeah, some of the most famous cases you've ever heard of, obviously, like JonBenet Ramsey, the West Memphis Three.
Chris Watts, Khalif Browder.
Elisa Lam, Madeleine McCain.
Sandra Bland, the Springfield Three. The list goes on and on. But they are all cases that you know, and we are going to dive in deep with someone else and just talk about them.
No. We're going to solve the case, Ellen.
That's right. We're going to solve the case. So subscribe to Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case wherever you get your podcasts.